So my guest is Sarah Timmerman, and she runs Beginning Boutique.
Please welcome Sarah Timmerman.
Owner of Beginning Boutique, Sarah Timmerman.
Welcome to the show, Sarah Timmerman of Beginning Boutique.
This feels so, like, so much weirder than being in the studio.
Oh, really? Welcome back to the beginning. We're doing part two today with my boss, Beginning CEO, Sarah Timmerman. We left you off last time. We discussed, I guess, the history of BB.
Everything. You made me cry.
Yes, sorry about that. And we left you off when we were about to start the rebrand.
Yep.
I obviously want to touch on, we're in a different setting today. We're not in the studio, we're in, I want to call this inside our CEO's mind. We are sitting on Sarah's couch. We have a collection of toys here. Pokemon cards.
A lot of Pokemon cards.
I feel like I'm just getting a real insight into your real life.
Yeah, definitely. This is Finn's choice of toys while he was watching TV this morning. They remain here until the afternoon, and then he just picks it up from there, I guess.
I love that. Lucky you.
Yeah, I know. But the rest of the house is actually pretty clean. We had a bit of like a spring clean situation.
I love a bit of a reset.
Yes, and that's before I knew the podcast was coming, so I'm so glad you did.
I mean, I guess that kind of ties on perfectly to the first thing I want to talk about. It is Lucky Me Month. We're doing it for the whole month of November. Can you tell me a little bit about why we're doing it? What is Lucky Me Month? Where did this idea come from?
Yeah, I have always been passionate about manifesting and being lucky. One of my mindsets is that I am lucky. And so for me, I think it's really important what you think about your luck in your life. So I have always said to myself that I'm lucky, even when I'm not feeling particularly lucky. And I think I want our customers to feel that as well, because what you think about is what happens, just through no magic, but just through practical steps. If you're constantly thinking about going to do something, you're more likely to do it than if you're not. And so if you're constantly thinking you're lucky, you'll see opportunities differently. And I think that's incredibly important. And so taking this month that's usually about bye, 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 and reframing it so that it's actually something for our customers to enjoy. And honestly, it came back from the very first event that we did at Milky Space around the angel numbers and all of that beautiful creative and concept. And then Emily took that creative and concept and re-brought that through. And that's how we got to Lucky Me Month. But why I love it so much is the reasons I shared just before.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, that Milky Space event did come from something that maybe wasn't so lucky. We were supposed to have a stall at Splendor. There was a miscommunication. There was an error on someone's end. And we couldn't put all the work that we put into that stall couldn't go ahead. So we pivoted and we did that event instead, and I feel like it ended up being better.
So much better.
It was such a big community piece, and it started this real through line of something in our business that I feel like now we've continued on with.
Yeah.
For Lucky Me Month in particular, do you want to talk through all the things that we are doing, the Lucky Charms in particular?
Yeah.
Can you talk me through your vision about how it started from your love of Mecca Beauty Loop and thinking, what if we did something like this in the fashion space?
Yeah, it's definitely been a long journey to get here. So the team initially started looking for the Lucky Charms in April this year. And so we've been having meetings about this every month for quite a long time. I did write down what I'm exactly excited about, but my favorite Lucky Charm is the one coming out very soon. We gave them away at our live fitting last night.
You can announce it. This will come out when they're already out.
Well, my favorite Lucky Charm is the Miss Sippy Cup. I am so excited for girls to have that emotional support drink bottle from us. I think it's going to be incredible. The other things I'm really excited about is bringing to life the concept that you're rewarded for being a Beginning Boutique customer. So not just giving you a discount, but actually giving you practical, awesome things in your life along with your dress. So, you know, you have that great outfit for the weekend, but you also have an amazing cup to use all week as well.
Yeah. Why is the rewarding of being a customer, why is that, I guess, customer brand connection so important to you as a business owner?
Michael Jordan's dad told him, I'm a big like book person, and there's this one like paragraph that sticks out to me and always has. Michael Jordan's dad was like, if people are going to pay for you to play, like if people are going to pay to watch you play, you better put on the best ever performance you've ever done in your life. And I always think about that, and I'm like, if you're going to pay for a dress, how can I make this the best possible dress, not only fit, fabric, price, but how can I make this the best possible experience for you that makes it worth your hours that you've done at work? Like, yeah. I want you to have the best possible life, so how can I make it even better with beginning?
I love that, and that is so funny that it's come from, I never would have picked you as a Michael Jordan basketball fan, but that is like such a good ethos, especially for people in business to sort of follow. It's like, it's not just about the product or how you play, it's about like, how are you giving them that experience?
Yeah.
You mentioned before how manifesting and feeling lucky has always been a big part of your business journey as like an entrepreneur and as a business founer. I feel as though manifesting and lucky girl syndrome has become a buzz term in the last couple of years with TikTok. Did you always think about it like that, or has that just always been your mindset like forever?
I still feel kind of strange about the word manifesting, because to me, I think it has this connotation of magic, and it's not actually magic. I think, yes, I have always manifested, but manifesting is, to me, is setting a goal, then breaking it down by months, then breaking it down by weeks, then breaking it down by days, and staying focused on that every single step of the way, and looking at your life as an opportunity to be the best you can possibly be in your life. Like, you're building your own life for you, so how can you build the life you want? Because I think we can all get distracted by this person's doing this, or this business is doing this, I want to be this, or comparing yourself, or not feeling like you're doing enough. But if you're practically every day setting a goal and like moving, even if it's like 1% towards it, that's manifesting and that's achievable. And I think that's rewarding and not a hustle.
Yeah.
And when I was little, I would break down what I wanted to buy, and then I'd break it down by car washes I had to do for my parents and chores, and like just break it down from that point. So I guess, yes, I have.
Now, speaking of something that you were working towards, it was our rebrand.
Yes.
And last time we had the part one of the podcast, we finished off sort of hinting towards a rebrand.
Yeah.
In that time, not only have you fully like done the rebrand, envisioned the rebrand, we've completed it, and it's now like well on its way.
Yeah.
Can you talk me through, first of all, just why you wanted to rebrand after 14 years?
It sort of came about when I was on a houseboat and had some downtime, and I was like, I really think it's time that we need to do this. And so it was a huge undertaking, and the team is still rolling it out. There's still things that are going live, like our product page only just went live this week. There will be constant touch points of improvement, I think, for years to come. But it was just time, because we had built something that was completely different to when I first launched, and I felt like we had to align that. I think one of the things I was most nervous about was the team and telling the team. I was really unsure of how everyone would take it. But to be honest, I think everyone's just loved being part of a project like that and really enjoyed the process.
Yeah, for sure. You spoke before about how it is really hard when you work in this industry to not look at other people and external influences and being like, well, they're doing that and they're doing this. Was there any kind of external factor that, I guess, you felt pressured to rebrand?
I don't think it came as a surprise to anyone on the team the rebrand was coming. I mean, Jade had been talking about it for quite some time, and I think we were all ready for the next evolution. I did see a lot of brands just incidentally happen to rebrand around the same time as us. I think everyone was just sick to death of COVID and needed a change, potentially driving us all to want to change.
Yeah.
So it's a great question, and I do always question if I'm conscious of things as well, because there very well could have been something that happened that made me think it was the right time.
Yeah, totally. In terms of a rebrand,
yeah,
it's obviously a massive thing for a business. It's not just changing a logo and slapping it on the website. Can you talk us through a little bit about what it actually entails in the nitty gritty of it?
It entails a lot of time, a lot of developer time, a lot of design time. It entails a lot of storytelling, because that's one thing we were really passionate about. Like, how will our customer know that it's us when we do this big rebrand? So we told an incredible story around that. It's really massive. And then there's the all of the packaging side. So not only was the team researching how to do the rebrand, they were also researching new packaging. So now we use packaging that is from ocean-bound plastic. So all of our packaging is helping our sustainability initiatives. And that was something that was great to roll out at the same time, because Talia has been researching that for years.
Mm. And in terms of, you mentioned the social aspect of it, you really came to the brand team and said, I want to show everything. Like, I want to completely lift the curtain behind every meeting was filmed, every decision, everything that, like, we came back and we were like, actually, we don't think we can do this. Like, this might have to be moved out. What was your thought process behind saying, I just want to show everything?
Well, when I first started beginning, I only had $200 to spend on stock a week. And so I would post pictures of it on our Facebook group before buying it. And that was really how I made the best decisions to be able to go from $200 to $250 to $300, you know, just growing that profitability, which isn't really profit, cash flow, whatever you want to call it. So I thought about that, and it did definitely make me think we need to drive this with our customer, because ultimately at the end of the day, they have to enjoy the brand as much as we do. And I actually just really enjoyed that process. I loved opening it up. And sometimes there was like some pretty full-on moments. And I know internally there were full-on moments around it. But I think it made us a better business. So it pushed us to push our suppliers more. It pushed us to push who we were using more. It made us drive for more outcomes when we could have just been focusing on a rebrand, but we also rolled out size 4 to 22. We also changed like a whole heap of different things and sustainability processes. So I think it turned out to be the best thing we could have done.
100%. Well, I actually just forgot until you just said that obviously we were working to get those size 22s, but it was looking like it was going to be around this time of the year rather than back in July. And it was all the comments from people saying, like, if you're rebranding, you need to, like, extend your size range. And it really made us all sit down and think, this has to be a priority. It was already a priority for us, but it really just made, I guess, the product team go back and push back against our suppliers and say, like, no, we need this now because this is so important to our customer. And it is so important to us as well.
Yeah, I think one of the tough parts, and I guess one of the things we got a bit of support with Brittany Saunders as well, was the fact that she just said that her suppliers will do it for her. And sometimes when you just get told no, 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 over and over again, you're kind of like, okay, well, we can't do this. But the team went to China, went to visit our suppliers, told them the dream, told them what we wanted, and we got a lot of no's back. But then, yeah, when Britt said that her suppliers do it, I was like, why the hell won't mine? Like, I've been working with them for just as long. So we're still struggling when it comes to new arrivals. But in all of our repeats, we push that full size range. We're talking about how we can get it to a 24 and 26. It's a huge process. It's not as simple as like adding a tick box to an order form. And we did that live fitting last night. And JT told me that there was so much feedback on how to grade differently and better as well.
Yeah.
So every touch point and every comment we get from a customer, I read every single comment ever.
Just so you know, all of them.
And I also read all of our reviews. So they come to my email and I check it all. And whilst I can't fix everything all at once, we definitely push for fixes as fast as possible.
And going back to obviously the live fitting and the fit videos, it's so interesting for you to say that when you first started, you were posting on Facebook asking people what to buy, because that is essentially the same strategy we're using in the fit videos. Did you know that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was like, I just come to that realization, because obviously you were like, we would sit and fit, yeah. and it's like, gosh, I just wish we could have a customer in here with us right
yeah,
now.
Definitely.
And it's like, well, we've got the best touch point ever to be able to just post it and ask people live pretty much what they want yeah. to see. And so the live fitting last night, first time we've done it, for people who weren't there, can you talk them through a little bit like about what we were offering?
It was an incredible event where everyone came into our showroom, they got a little bit of shopping, they got some snacks and some drinks, and they got the first ever Miss Sippy Cups, which is so cool. And then on top of that, the team then took them through to our shoot room, which is in the middle of our warehouse. So everyone was like, whoa,
yeah.
it was so cool watching everyone go in. And then they're sitting in the shoot room and warming up to being able to ask more questions and giving more feedback. And we had Kitty there, who's a size 18 to 20, and we had Tan, who's a size 6 to 8. And they were just trying on different outfits and showing how we would fix them and what we would change. I love working with Kitty because she's so vocal.
Mm.
I love how much she feeds back. And obviously Tam's a designer, so she doesn't hold back either.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it was so good. We had about 20 people there, and it was so great to hear everyone in the audience participate
yes.
and have that real live feedback instantly
yeah.
and have people say that, well, I'm curvier, like I have a bigger bust, or I have like bigger hips, so I wouldn't wear that,
yeah.
or I'd need it to be longer. And then other girls saying like, I wouldn't wear a print to a formal event. Just insights that I feel like are so invaluable. If you guys are listening and you want to come to our next one,
yes.
keep an eye out because we'll definitely be doing it again. I want to move on now to another big project
yes.
that we've had a few setbacks
yes.
in. Let's talk about Project Bald Eagle
yes.
from the start. What is Project Bald Eagle?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this when you sent me today's question list, and this project actually started pre-COVID. So
mm-hmm.
we were hoping to fix a customer care bottleneck that we have, which is returns in the US. Obviously it's a seamless process for our customer. She sends it back locally, which means it's cheaper, or they send it back locally, which means it's cheaper, and then it's processed there. But that stock is in transit to Australia for 3 to 6 months before
mm-hmm.
we can resell it. So customer's taken care of, they have everything that they need, everything is processed, but we have this massive stock bubble that's just floating. So in order to be a sustainable company, you need to like take accountability for every single step of the loop. So we were ready to go to set up a 3PL in the US right before COVID, and obviously we put our stop on that. Talia has been spearheading this project for a long, long time, and finally we are in almost signing pattern for the lease. So current stages of Project Bald Eagle is to be able to dispatch and process returns in the US. Not that sexy. Where we're at though is we're about to sign a lease. We have our first team member hired. So we are still recruiting. We would love to hear from you if you want
yes.
a job in our store. And we are just working through the technical pieces, which is why James was like,
head in hands.
Over and over again. Oh my god, I could watch that video so many
so,
times. So
I also just really like how that, if you guys haven't seen it, go and look at our
yes.
TikTok page. It's a video of James who's having some IT, some back end issues. And the best part of that is just him at the end eating the popcorn and just falling out of his mouth. Like, it just really accurately depicts when you're just ready to give up. You know when like three things your day has gone wrong and you're just like, that's it. Like, I can't do anything right. Like, that is exactly how I feel sometimes.
Also, eating popcorn is so awkward. It is never easy.
Also, in a meeting?
I know. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, why did he let himself get filmed eating popcorn? Pick a better snack.
I don't know if he knew he was being filmed.
Oh.
Millie and I are quite sneaky. We've become very, like, we're sleuths. But the other thing that we're doing with Project Bald Eagle is it's going to have a showroom element
yes.
as well.
Yeah.
Did that come after we opened the showroom in Australia, or was that always the plan?
I actually think it came after we opened the showroom in Australia. It's not that we didn't think about it beforehand, but I guess we just didn't really have that concept in mind pre-COVID.
Mm.
We are pure play, which means we only sell online. But being able to open up that space to customers to process their return on the spot, exchange on the spot, and shop on the spot, I mean, why wouldn't you? And like, it's a beautiful space, the one
yeah.
that we're trying to get the lease on. it's right near all universities in La Jolla. We're really excited to see what community we can connect with there as well.
I want to know why the US, like, were you targeting the US to start with and that's why that store got so big, or did it just happen organically? Because from a business owner's perspective, is there a reason that America is such a big target audience for us? Because I know that you got the idea in Paris. Was there ever an idea to target Europe?
That is such an interesting question. So in terms of targeting, maybe this is my lucky girl syndrome, but the US just grew organically for us. And so we've always focused on AU first, and that's always been, or Australia. People don't know what AU is. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Americans are like, what? Anyway, in terms of like focus, Australia's always come number one. We opened our US online store in like 2017. So it's not like it's new for us or anything. But what it has meant is that we could charge in US dollars. We could show local information. It was just a better shopping experience. And then like Charli D'Amelio posted in Beginning Boutique, we had all of these influences.
Addison Rae.
Yeah.
And that was like the, when they were in the OG, like hype house, that was like peak of their fame.
Yeah. So it was like, I guess, a no-brainer, because our climate is so similar as well to California and to many places in the US. And when I was recently there, it is so expensive to shop there. Like, their cost of product is so high. Like, Aritzia is so expensive.
So expensive. When we were in the US this year, I couldn't believe how expensive things were in California, in New York. You go into Zara and like a t-shirt's like $70.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like 70 Australian, so it's like $40.
Yeah.
But that's insane.
Yeah.
I could not believe how expensive just all of their garments were.
So I felt like I think we just have a competitive advantage there, because also Australian stores have to work super hard because our population is so much smaller. It's like when I started, you know, it was just magazines doing the level of shooting that we do. So,
100%.
Yeah, I think Australia just breeds great businesses because you have to go hard.
Definitely. When you think about stuff like that, like opening in a whole new continent, do you feel overwhelmed? Because you kind of just, anytime someone mentions an idea, you're like, great, like book in a time for an hour and I'll figure it out. Like, I feel like you never seem overwhelmed at like all of these things that might potentially come with expanding or taking on a new project. Is that just the facade on the outside, or do you really just...
No, there's
definitely...
I definitely get stressed. I definitely get stressed. I'm very glad that you think that, Ivy. That's great. No, I definitely get stressed. I think one of the things that I've learned over the years is to practically use that stress. So, like, embrace the stress for 5 minutes, but then actually work out what's stressing you out. So, say, for example, I'm really overwhelmed about the idea of La Jolla, for example, the US. Okay, what's overwhelming me? Is it the cost? Is it the time? Is it being away from my family? You know, breaking it down so that I'm actually getting to the root of the problem, and then you can come up with a solution, or you can innovate around it, or you can make other ways to look at it. Because I think sometimes we, especially in overwhelmed states, for myself, my head is tripped off.
Yeah.
When I'm like overwhelmed, I just have to like take a second, do some breathing, figure out what the hell is actually overwhelming me, because I'm not dying.
Yeah.
That is the only time I think you should be overwhelmed.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's great, great advice, definitely. So going back to, I guess, your manifesting, I want to know, to end the episode,
oh, yes,
what are your main three things that you're manifesting for beginning, as big as or as small, or like as far-fetched or as realistic as you can make them?
Yeah, I did spend some time thinking about this, because obviously I have like growth goals and profitability goals, but they're not really that interesting. And that's not really manifesting. Like, I think when you say I want to earn X dollars, sometimes it actually isn't helpful unless you can break down the steps. So I really want to have, the first one is a successful San Diego launch with the community around our store and making sure that it's an accurate representation of who we are as Beginning Boutique.
Yeah.
The second one is hopefully collaborating with someone special for their hens.
I'm so excited for that.
And then selling out our Mississippi cup and giving our customers emotional support every day with their water bottle.
Amazing. Sarah, thank you so much.
Wait, didn't like the
It's coming. Oh. Seriously, this lady does not trust me at all. I was gonna say thank you so much for sitting down with me and speaking with me. Before Sarah Bruce interrupted me, I was going to say, because we appreciate you being here. It is Lucky Friday week. We're on sale all this week. We have 25% off on store right now. But Sarah is going to give you a special extra treat. Yeah. She's going to give you a 30% discount code. Yes. If you use the code,
we love you.
We love you. You'll get 30% off. So go and type that in right now and make your orders. And yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us again.
It's good to be back again. I love doing the podcast.
I know. I think we need to make it maybe a monthly thing with you so that we can just update everybody, or maybe like every 2 months we should love do it. One. Guys, if you have any questions for Sarah, whether they're founder questions, questions about beginning, style questions, kid questions, whatever you want, I'll ask them.
Sounds good. I look forward to it.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you are listening on Spotify, please answer the question in the box down below and follow us on both Spotify, please. Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. It really, really helps us grow. And don't forget to tune in next time. We have an episode with Georgie Hanson. I'm leaking it early. We have an episode with Georgie Hanson, and we have a few other extra special guests on that episode, so you definitely will not want to miss it.